This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, everyone. Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind. Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24 pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere. And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Chicago, springtime is finally knocking on your door. The snow and ice may be gone, but are you ready to step out in style yet? It's time to make over your ride at your local Chevy dealer, where you'll find the true glam team of SUVs. If you're thinking about springing forward into a new Chevy, you're not alone. The right vehicle makes all the difference when it comes to safety, confidence, and comfort on the road. You saw the Chevy lineup at the auto show. Now it's time to see which one puts the spring in your step. Need the power and durability of a Silverado, the all-weather confidence of an Equinox or Blazer, the spacious comfort of a Traverse, Tahoe, or Suburban, or the sporty, city-friendly Trax? Your local Chevy dealer has exactly what you need to shine like the new spring sun. So don't wait. Head to ChevyDriveChicago.com today. Browse the newest models, special offers, locate your nearest Chevy dealer, and start shopping online. Things are warming up out there, and you need a vehicle you can trust. Find yours now at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
If that line forms on the right, babe, not that Maggie's back in town.
Big Monocle here with you on this, I guess, Friday morning. It's kind of my Thursday. I don't know what the hell's going on with my schedule, but it's 2:05 on this Friday morning. I got you for another 3 hours as we take it till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Rami's on the other side, 888-808-1019. And the Johnnies make it through the first round. They may just sweat for a little, just a little. Just a little bit of perspiration, just a little bit of worry in that first half where they got off to a slow start. Omaha jumps out to a 7-0 lead to start the game. They were ice cold from three, not really getting to the basket. They just looked a little out of sorts for about, I don't know, the first 8 minutes of this game. But they obviously find their way, and this is what they do, man. The second half, they are a dominant. They might be the best second half team in college basketball. You look at the last couple games against Marquette and against Creighton, both games in the Big East tournament, they are down, not by much, a basket, 3 points at the half, and then just dominate in the second half. And this game was no different, where, again, early on, getting beat in things that you don't expect the Johnnies to get beat, especially against a team like the Omaha Mavericks. Like, there was a stretch overall, even at the end of this game, like, they shot fairly better than they have. Like, from three, I was comfortable with, like, 37.8%, around 38% from three-point land. Not awful. But at the beginning of this game, they were getting outworked. They were getting out-hustled. They were getting beat on the offensive glass, especially, or their defensive glass. Omaha had a bunch of second-chance points and second-chance opportunities. They were getting beat on the boards. They were getting beat to the basket. They were having trouble off the screen. Pick-and-roll was beating them early on. And early on, just, it wasn't that the game was ever out of hand or that Omaha ever had a huge lead that you felt insecure about or you were worried. I never felt like the upset even came into my mind at any point. But the Johnnies didn't play their game at the beginning. They were getting beat on things that they normally dominate on. They were getting beat on the glass. They were getting beat defensively. They were getting beat in the hustle plays. And that is where this team lives. And they, oddly enough, get out of it hitting some threes because you could tell how they were playing. Omaha was playing them to dare them to shoot, and you're going to see that. And now that they got Calipari, that's the big game coming up on Saturday. Rick Pitino versus Calipari. Arkansas, St. John's, 2:40 Saturday afternoon. You're going to see Omaha did it, and Johnny's answered, and R.J. Lewis certainly answered in this game, who goes 5 of 8 from three-point land. They tested St. John's to hit their shots. They were giving them plenty of room at the top of the key. They were playing with their heels back defensively, and they were daring St. John's to shoot it. And St. John's, for a team that Rick Pitino has often talked about, the idea that, you know, he doesn't want them afraid to shoot. Yes, they're not a great shooting team. They haven't been a great shooting team, and that's what scares you, right? That was the talking point heading into this tournament, was can they hit the three, and can they ice close games with their, at the foul line? Those were the two main things, because you know they're good defensively. You know they can rebound. You know they're going to fight tooth and nail. You know they can get to the basket. You know they can defend. You know all of that about St. John's. The question is, offensively, when they need a basket, you know, R.J. Lewis has really stepped up, and you know Richmond inside the three-point line, his mid-range game getting to the basket, he can score too. But from behind the arc, which if you watch the entire tournament today, you could see how, I mean, you know this is the tournament, right? Today was no different than any other day, other than really not too many upsets. Just obviously McNeese is the big one, Drake is another one. Pretty rote besides that. I mean, 10 sevens, 8 nines, I do even call those upsets. There was a couple of upsets in this first day of the tournament. It was an overall solid tournament, some close games, nothing special. McNeese is a real fun story we'll get to in a little bit at 888-808-1019 with obviously their coach, Will Wade, who's already announced he's leaving. And they turn around and have a big performance here. But you know how big the play the D, shoot the three. That is, it's guard play. It's from the three-point land, and it's defending and limiting offensive rebounds. That's what this limit second-chance points, defend the three-point line, hit the three-pointers. That's the game in these tournament games and icing games with foul shots. And they do all of that except shoot the three and hit the foul shots. So that's been what you're worried about. You're worried about a team like Omaha or Arkansas or whomever they're going to face next just getting hot from downtown. And the Johnnies not being able to catch up because they can't hit their threes. And Omaha dared them to shoot early in this game. And early on, it was a little ugly. They looked a little off their game defensively on the boards, looked a little off their game. But ultimately, they found it. Omaha went ice cold from three-point land eventually. Early on, they hit a couple, but they end up shooting 13.9%. from three-point land. If you are a 15 seed trying to take down the number two, as well as they played, and they had 24 offensive rebounds in this game, 24 to 15 offensive rebounds, Omaha out-rebounded St. John's, and overall rebounds 45-47 in the favor of St. John's. But on the offensive glass, Omaha was getting it done, but they just went ice cold from three. I mean, just absolutely ice cold. Look at 0 for 3, 0 for 5, 2 for 11, 0 for 1, 0 for 2, 0 for 5. Like, they were just ice cold from 3. The Johnnies eventually started to hit their shot. And looking at this team, I feel like it was a good opportunity to get their feet wet against a team that they're clearly better than. They struggled early on with what they're good at. You saw it kind of affect them. They go on a 7-0 run to start the game, Omaha, and I thought it was a critical timeout that Rick Pitino took early on just to get things settled. And they came out and went on a 7-0 run of their own. And while the game was still, they came back and tied it at 7. And then the game was still up and down a little bit. And, you know, Omaha did have a 5 or 6 point lead from that point on as well in the first half. But it felt like the game got settled once it got back to 7-7. And they started hitting their shots. And RJ Lewis, I mean, moving forward in this tournament, and Texas Tech did make it through. It was a very close game at the end of the night, the last game on the docket on a Thursday night schedule to start this tournament. And Texas Tech, that game was close all the way until the last few minutes. Whether it's them you got to deal with, whether it's Arkansas, obviously, on Saturday, whether it's Florida, if they're going to play their game and you're going to get a shooting performance from RJ Lewis where he's shooting, you know, 5 of 8 from three-point land and 22 points, that's the kind of performance they're going to need to get through this tournament. And it's the kind of performance where if they get, they have an opportunity to go all the way. I mean, that's what this team does. Now, this is a 30-point, the first time they have won a game in 25 years in the tournament. It's a 30-point dominant victory. In the second half, they just absolutely did whatever they wanted to do. Like I said, this is the best second-half team in all of college basketball, arguably. They continue to show that. They came out at half after, I'm sure, Pitino like lit into them after only being up, you know, 5 points against the 15 seed at the halftime and playing as poorly as they did in the first few minutes. Maybe the first 10 minutes of this game were really not there, as the rest obviously was. It's a 30-point victory. It's the largest margin of victory in St. John's history in this tournament. And it's their first win since 2000. And it sets up what is going to be a huge game in Providence. Saturday, 2:40. John Calipari, Rick Pitino, St. John's, Arkansas. Everyone's talking about it. You can see in the postgame, Rick Pitino has no interest in talking about this anymore. He has no interest in the rivalry that we're all trying to perpetrate here and trying to make up here against him and John Calipari, who obviously did have, you know, Louisville and Kentucky are natural rivals. And obviously just the two coaches are, you know, in this town. One coached the Knicks, one coached the Nets. They've both been in the NBA. They've both been, you know, obviously NCAA champions. They've both been prominent forces, both coach Kentucky, and both big names around here. And that sets up an enormous game moving forward, because this was the one you expected St. John's to do what they did. They didn't play well early on, but they did find a way to dominate this basketball game. They won by 30 points. It was never in question. And now they get ready for an Arkansas team who played well against Kansas. That first half every shot seemed to go in the first half of that Kansas game. They have a really good team. They've got really good offensive players. They can score the basketball. They can shoot the basketball. And John Calipari is one of the better head coaches in the college game. So this is going to be an enormous matchup, one we're going to be looking forward to all through today, looking forward to it on Saturday afternoon. That is a perfect time. Get home from whatever you're doing, run your errands, go to Home Depot, go to Lowe's, whatever you got to do, be back by 2:40, go to the kids' birthday parties like I have at 11:30 on Saturday morning. You go to the kids' birthday parties, you eat the pizza, which I don't even want to mention pizza on this air right now. We've talked so much about pizza all day. I mean, we'll get to it because I live through it. All right, if we're going to talk about Pizzagate, they should have called me. In fact, Evan did text me earlier in the day. I wish I would have known how stupid he was, and that's my fault. Because I should have known how stupid Evan is at these kind of things. This is the kind of thing, ordering pizzas for a large group is the kind of thing you want Evan nowhere near. Nowhere near. So we'll get to the fun of what was going on at the station today. Because this is, these 2 days, pure basketball all day long. I'm meeting some friends for tomorrow. I'll be back on the air after the Yankee game tomorrow night. And in the meantime, we're going to watch a hell of a lot of basketball. We got St. John's coming up on Saturday. We got, you know, McNeese Drake with the two major upsets, a lot of close games, and really one of the perfect kind of days to me, really only two upsets. I think Drake is a live dog. We'll see what McNeese is. Will Wade is kind of the talk of the tournament with how open he is about his future. But other than that, I like close games and the favorites prevail, because ultimately it makes for better games moving forward. And even this game with, you know, obviously if it was Kansas, that would have, and Bill Self, that would have been an enormous game too. That's a blue blood. They've been in this tournament forever. I think it's the first time in, what, since 2005, Kansas has lost a first round game in this tournament. So if it was Kansas, it would have been fun. But obviously this sets up the two mammoth coaches. Saturday is going to be on CBS 240 Saturday afternoon, St. John's, Arkansas, Patino, Calipari. This is going to be arguably the biggest game of Saturday. This is going to be the most hyped up. This is going to be the one everyone talks about. Everyone's going to wonder if Patino's going to be in his white suit for this on Providence against a rival like Calipari. This is it. We are here. Saturday, the story is St. John's. If they win this game moving forward, the story is St. John's. And I talked about this. I did a podcast today. We've talked about it before. We are a week away. Yesterday was officially a week away from opening day, and it's a week away from the Sweet 16. And if St. John's is playing on Thursday evening, 7 o'clock, when I come on after a Yankee opening day, after the first game of Juan Soto in his Met career, it is very likely I'm talking St. John's, Texas Tech. That is unheard of. And yet here we are. A dominant victory after a shaky start. A big-time game on Saturday against a prominent coach and a big-time matchup. The focal point of really Saturday right now at 2:40 on CBS. All eyes on St. John's. Not just here, not just mine, not just yours. Across the country. St. John's is one of the premier teams in this tournament because of the coach. And this game on Saturday is going to be one of the premier games of the tournament. It's going to be one of the premier talked-about games, clearly, of the weekend. Of the 32 remaining. And this is the kind of game we get pumped about. It's the kind of game we haven't had here in forever. It's the kind of game we get a chance to sink our teeth into, watch basketball all day with our feet up, just enjoy it, work on your brackets, make your bets, knowing that Saturday at 2:40, we got business to take care of. This is fun. This is fun. Now, I think they're going to have to play better than they played in this game. I'll be honest with you. I didn't love the start of this game. I think, man, hopefully that's just getting their nerves out. But, you know, they didn't shoot the ball well, which is understandable. That's not what they do best. And it ended up being what got them the victory. But a couple of things scare you at the beginning of this game. They didn't play defense all that well for what they normally do. They didn't rebound the ball well. They gave Omaha a bunch of second point chances. You can't allow Arkansas to do that. Arkansas is not going to shoot 15%, 13.9% from three-point land. So they got to tighten it up a little bit. Even though it's a 30-point win, you got to tighten it up a little bit and get ready for Arkansas and John Calipari on Saturday. 888-808-1019. Let's actually take Josh right here in the open. Josh at State College. What's up, Josh?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
Can't complain too much, my man. I actually got a couple of questions for you, if that's all right.
Yeah, sure.
So, I mean, obviously St. John's got off to a real slow start. They couldn't get anything to fall in. Like, the first 5 minutes went down, what was it, 10-0?
I think they started 7-0, and then they came back on a 7-0 run because I remember they tied it at 7. But it was 7-0, but it wasn't even so much the score, because 7's not, you know, it's the first couple minutes and 7 doesn't kill you. It was how the 7 points were being scored. It was being scored because St. John's was allowing, you know, layups off pick and roll, and St. John's couldn't get a freaking defensive rebound to save their lives in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, and for that entire run, they were just hucking up bricks. Nothing could fall.
Yep.
How do you think that slow start's going to affect them later on in the tournament?
I don't think it does, other than, you know, maybe they can look back on it. It's only a positive. Nothing is a major negative off of an 83-53 win, right? This is a coach's dream. You win by 30, but you have talking points about how to improve. Like, this would be a Bill Belichick, you know, orgasm. Like, this, he would love this right now. The idea that you can look at that beginning of the game and you could say, well, listen, man, we did not rebound the ball. They were out hustling us. They were out toughing us. The offensive rebounds were killing us, and we didn't shoot the basketball very well, and that could happen. And you could point to that and say, you know, all right, against Omaha, we figured out a way to get back into this game. Against Arkansas, against Texas Tech, against Florida, that's not going to happen. So I think it's overall a positive how they played at the beginning of the game. Because you have to get better. They know that. And they're going to work on it. And hopefully it was just getting their nerves. As I told you before, the Big East tournament and the tournament are completely different for me especially for a team who's won the Big East championship. Now, I'm not saying there's no pressure to win the Big East tournament. Of course you want to win the Big East tournament. But you've already won the Big East regular season. You know you're a tournament team. If you lose in the your first game to Butler, maybe you're a 3 seed, right? If you lose to Marquette in the semis, maybe you're a 3 seed. Getting to the finals, you're probably a 2 seed, and you know what's at stake here. And even if you lost the Big East tournament, there's another game to play. And you know Creighton's good, and you know Marquette's good, and you played them a bunch, and there's no real shame in losing that game. It's disappointing. You want to win the Big East championship. You want to cut down the nets. You want to hold up the trophy. But ultimately, okay, so we lost to Creighton. Creighton just had a great game in the tournament and are looking to take on Florida. Like, Creighton's a good team. Marquette's a good team. You lose that game after playing Marquette and Creighton 3 times. You say, okay, you tip your cap and you say, let's get ready for the tournament. You lose to Omaha as a 2 seed, losing to a 15 seed. Like, that's where I felt like this was the first time St. John's had some pressure. And, you know, they didn't handle it well in the first 10 minutes or so, but then they were able to find themselves and they did what they do in the second half and outscored them 50-25. In the second half, and recovered from a slow start. So ultimately, I think it's a positive. Because if you come out firing from the gate and you just make it a non-game from the jump, there's not a lot of talking points. There's not a lot of coaching points. There's not a lot of emphasis of don't let this happen again. You're on cruise control figuring we can't be stopped. Instead, you could say, look at this. This game, Darren Rea got out of hand at the beginning of this game because we didn't rebound, because we didn't play defense the way we should, and we didn't shoot the ball the way we should. We didn't attack the basket the way we should. We settled for lousy shots. So hopefully the beginning of this game is actually a positive, and it's something Rick Pitino can work on over the next 2 days to make sure it doesn't happen again. Because, again, Arkansas is not world beater, but you don't want to fall behind 10 points in the first 10 minutes against Arkansas. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you're going to have to come back and hit those threes. And that was really the difference in the game, right? What was the difference in this game? To start, St. John's wasn't hitting the threes that Omaha was daring them to take. And then by the final 7 or 8 minutes of the first half, they started hitting those shots. And R.J. Lewis was much better. And in the second half, they just dominated. 888-808-1019. All right, so we start with St. John's off a... impressive win again. Listen, they won by 30 points. It's the first time they've won in 25 years in the tournament. They won by 30 points. I'll take it. That is a dominant win. It was never in doubt. It was a cakewalk. We had our feet up. We weren't worried about it. Now we move on to the big matchup on Saturday. And this is the game already. In the round of 32, they're going to face an opponent that is quality and a coach we all know, the rest of the country knows, a former rival of Rick Pitino, whether he wants to admit it or not, with Louisville and Kentucky. Two of the premier four coaches in the entire college basketball landscape are going to face off Saturday, 2:40 on CBS with the whole country watching. 888-808-1019. We got to get to the Knicks and their pathetic performance against the Hornets, where they have now lost back-to-back games against teams they have no business losing to, putting forth effort that they have no business putting forth. And quite honestly, I mean, embarrassing themselves. And I don't care. It's back-to-back. And I don't care about the schedule. I mean, these are just two ugly wins against bad teams in a stretch of playing a bunch of bad teams. And it's got to change now. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the baseball as well. The Yankees continue to hit a little bit, and are we concerned about Diaz and his fastball? 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. Plus, the Rangers suck too. So a lot of some positive, some negative. We'll laugh, we'll cry. We'll take you all the way to 5 o'clock. McMonagle here with you on the Fan. We'll come right back with more of your calls right here on the Fan.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 864-SEASONS. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swing on a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Field it back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him. He hits the plate. First congratulated by Nimmo, hugged by Lindor. There are a dozen Mets waiting for him outside the dugout. Pete Alonso keeps this fairy tale season going with the fairy tale swing of his career.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right. 233. The classic 90s nasal singer. Is this Sum 41? What is this? Simple Plan, right. This is Blink 182, Sum 41, Simple Plan. And I can't drink. All right. 234. I mean, it's not bad, the voice, though. It's just, it immediately takes you to the time. Like, if you hear, like, Eddie Vedder, you hear Hootie and the, you know, that, you know, that's like the early 90s kind of rock folk thing. We're like, I want to hold your hand. Like, there's just, oh, I'm still alive. Like, it just takes you to that genre. That's whiny singing style. Maybe Good Charlotte, too. Did they have that, too? I think Good Charlotte, the singer, might have had a little bit of that whiny type thing, too. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan on this Friday morning. As we take you all the way till 5 o'clock and the warm-up show, which LaPresti will be in again today. I saw him sleeping it off on a couch somewhere. We'll get to it. I'll get to Pizzagate in a little bit. I'm in a unique position to speak about Pizzagate. I have been a part of Pizzagate with Mike for years. I actually spoke to Mike yesterday. I said, hi, this is Chris McMonagle. Happy birthday. He said, thanks.
It was McGonagall.
It was a great conversation. Hello, it's me. Happy birthday. Thank you. But I'll speak to it because I was here for it. I know what the order should have been. I know what the order used to be. No one wants to call me. No one wants to ask me. Nobody wants to say, hey, McMonagle, you were here for all those years. You took in the pizza order. You and Monzo handled it year after year. What did you guys do? How many pizzas did you get? And I know it's a different world with the amount of people that are in the newsroom now compared to when back when we were doing it, but it doesn't matter. Just call me up, man. I have answers for all of you. I'll get into it in a little bit. I also want to get into the Mets in a little bit. Beatty, I don't know what else you need to see, Met fans. Every Met fan I speak to personally, not the callers so much or even on social media, but I spoke to Hoffman, I speak to my buddies, they're all convinced he can't hit. It's spring training, and spring training doesn't matter. And I understand that on some level. But you guys certainly aren't poo-pooing the pitching performances you're getting in spring training. And Beatty turned another double play. He's looked like he could play second base. He had another double off the wall, opposite field. Like, the guy is raking. He's playing second base. Just give it to him for a month. See what he does with it. Because if he's this player that he is in spring right now, he's your best play. He's your best option. Way better than McNeil. Better than Acuna. I want to see Beatty out there at second base. 888-808-1019. We'll get into all those and more over the next hour, 2 hours, 1 hour and a half, something like that. 2.5 hours. 2.5. 888-808-1019. Let's get to Jackson in Texas. What's up, Jackson?
Yes, the Drake head coach and the Texas Tech assistant. I've worked with them both.
Okay.
I worked with them in Division II. I first worked with the Texas Tech assistant, Jeff Linder. We're talking about 23 years ago.
Okay.
In 2002, I worked with him at Emporia State University, one of the powerhouses in all of Division II, in what's known as the Mid-America Intercollegiate Athletic Association conference.
Mm-hmm.
Worked with him for 2 years. Okay. After he left and went to the junior college level, went and worked with Grant McCasland.
Sure.
at the junior college level. What happened was is that at the time, Ben McCollum was a player for Northwest Missouri. Then we had a guy that was in between there that was an assistant, and then he left and decided other things. Well, the following year, Ben McCollum became an assistant for us.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Ben became our assistant.
Uh-huh.
Because I was the student assistant at the time at Emporia State University, which is in Kansas. And it's in Emporia, Kansas, which is right up the road from Wichita, Kansas.
How far from Wichita?
About 100 miles.
About 100 miles from Wichita. Okay. I'm trying to just picture it. Okay.
Yeah, it's up in northeast Kansas.
Okay.
I got it. Thing is that when Ben became our assistant,
right?
Can you, of all people, can you believe who the head coach was?
Who?
The son of the legendary Doug Moe, David Moe.
David Moe?
How about that?
No way. David Moe became the coach?
David Moe was the coach.
Wow.
He was the head coach of us during that time, of all that time.
Okay.
Because what people don't know a lot of that time.
Yeah, you're letting us know. You're telling me a lot of things I don't know. I had no idea, David. Go ahead, please.
is that Ben McCollum had won a national title as a player with Northwest Missouri. We were a powerhouse. A lot of the a lot of what you all see about the four out, one in.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Mo had utilized that back then. You see in the NBA now. And Coach Doug Mo had used it into the NBA slowly. And now what you see with the Golden State Warriors and a lot of others. We just didn't have the defense. We didn't have the defense to win a national title at the time in Division II. But now what you're seeing is Coach Ben McCollum is using defense, and he is using what you see with the D2 players. He's using the clock to slow down to get the ball to with 5 seconds and below, which is something that some of us students had asked, including myself, slow the ball down against, you know, like what you had seen with Jim Valvano, what Valvano had done against Houston back then.
With Houston back then.
When he did against Houston.
No, I mean, listen, there's no doubt about it. You want to slow. I can only go for so long, people. I tried. It became so uninteresting that I had to eventually stop it. I was trying to make it fun, but eventually it had to stop. We gave it a good ride, though. Is he calling back right now? We tried. But yes.
You want to take him again?
No, maybe a little bit. Listen, slowing the game down is beneficial, right? You want to, you don't want to, if you're going to, these upsets typically happen with low scoring games. You don't want to get into a shootout and win, you know, typically the underdogs win in close, hard fought games. You're not going to run and score with the better team. So slowing the ball down, waiting the shot clock out, waiting till 5-6 seconds in the shot clock, taking less shots is beneficial to these underdogs, no doubt. Now, I don't know if Coach Bo was the first one to come up with it, but good for him. 100 miles north of Wichita. Ahmad in California. What's up, Ahmad?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it, buddy. How are you?
First things first, I'm the Syracuse fan in college ball, but it's fantastic to see St. John's playing tonight, man. And I think the NCAA is much better with them in it, so it was nice to see.
Yeah, no, it's amazing to see. It's 25 years since they've had a victory inside the tournament. So, I mean, it's a long time coming. Hopefully they're due for another one on Saturday afternoon.
Yes, absolutely, man. So I just wanted to call about the Giants, man, about their draft. As far as Rodgers, look, you know, if he would have committed already, I would have been on board with it. Anything's better than what we had last year, right? But as far as his third pick, I do not feel comfortable trading up. I don't want to give up anybody, you know, any picks to get any of the top two guys, obviously Shador and Cam. With the third pick,
why not? If they believe he's the best quarterback in the draft, and the only way to get him is to move to Cam Ward. Let's say Cam Ward's the best, the universally felt. I know there's a couple of people who disagree, but most everyone feels Cam Ward is the best quarterback in the draft. Say Brian Daboll and Joe Shane believe that Cam Ward is the best quarterback in the draft. Why would you not want to move up to get best quarterback?
So many holes,
right?
That what are you gonna? You can't give up any pieces to move up.
Why not? You and I just have a fundamental disagreement. You think if Jaden Daniels came to this team this year, they wouldn't have improved? They wouldn't have been better?
Yeah, they would have been better.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if you get the quarterback right, it's worth whatever it is. It's worth whatever it is. I understand your point. I know a lot of hosts. I know I listen to Lori a lot, and I'm sorry I'm up against it, Ahmad. Thank you very much for the call, especially calling all the way out from California. I do appreciate it, but that post game goes kind of long, and so I'm stuck with more spots than I usually have. But I would just tell you, I hear you, and I understand. You know, Lori Rubenson does a great job on Sunday nights, and I drive in every Monday listening to Lori, and she's been really animated about this, that the last thing she would do is trade up. I haven't heard her in a little bit on it, but I know this is how she felt a while back. The last thing she would do is trade up for a quarterback or trade up for anyone because she doesn't know if Shane and Dable are going to be here. And to take equity from another GM's draft is like the last thing she would do. And I get that, but they are here. And we need the young quarterback. And if you get it right, if Cam Ward's the guy and he comes in here and changes the franchise, then I don't care what they have to give up. It's worth it. And then you'll know. And the other thing that I love about it is I'll know. And I know this is stupid and it doesn't really matter in the end game. It just matters if they get it right and if they can develop the quarterback. But I'll know that they believe this was the guy. Because if they take Sanders at 3, I'll never know if they believed Cam Ward was better. I mean, we might hear rumors. Someone will have a, you know, say what the draft board was like. But ultimately, they'll tell you this is the guy they loved and we'll have to believe it. Like, if they draft Cam Ward at Shedeur Sanders at 3, I'll never know if it's the guy they wanted it to be. Like, Shane and Dable get this. You could think it's unfair. You could think it's ridiculous off of the last 2 years. For me, Shane and Dable were hired to do this. They drafted and developed Josh Allen, and they were brought in to find the next quarterback. They were given an opportunity to rebuild the Giants, and rebuild means quarterback. And for whatever reason, they've been stuck with Daniel Jones. We don't have to, litigate it forever. We know why. It was a mistake, both on the owner's part and their part, no doubt about it. But they were brought here to do this. So let them do it. And if they believe that Cam Ward is the guy and that he's not going to be there at 3, then go freaking get him. That's just my position on it. 888-808-1019. Quick break. McMonagle here with you on The Fan till 5. Come back with more of your phone calls next.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
This is good, Charlotte, yeah. A little whiny, yeah. I think this falls into the category of the whiny singer, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. All right, we figured that out. Good Charlotte falls right into the whiny 90s voice singing. Be like him. All right, so we did St. John's, obviously, we get ready for Saturday. Saturday, we mentioned on CBS, 2:40, Patino versus Calipari. The Johnnies open up as a 6.5-point favorite. The winner will take on the winner of Texas Tech and Drake. That actually should be a good game. I like Drake. They played very well against Missouri. And Texas Tech is a damn good team. I expect them to win. They are a 7.5-point favorite in that game. But I do think Drake is a live dog, as well as McNeese Purdue. McNeese, after they took down Clemson, and the final score is 69-67, but they just absolutely kicked the crap out of Clemson that entire game. And Will Wade, their coach, who is, kind of already accepted the job at NC State, was kind of the talk of the tournament for a bit, as he has been open about his departure, and a lot of people killing him. I saw Charles Barkley getting after him, saying it shouldn't have come out. It's not right. You're trying to do something with these kids. They responded. His team responded and played one of the better games of the tournament. It ends up being just a 2-point victory, but they were up 20 plus points. They were dominant that game in the first half. Let me see where it got to at one point, but that was the real upset of the tournament. They were the 12-5 upset. They're up 31-13 at half. Clemson scored 13 points in the first half, 54 in the second. But they were up 31-13 in this game. For a coach that has already admitted, I just was reading all these articles about the new age transparent coach, the most transparent coach in history. He's openly talking about leaving. He's talking about bringing recruits with him. Like, it's just one hell of a story, those McNeese Cowboys, as they took down Clemson 69-67. But again, the big story here for us, Saturday, Arkansas St. John's in Providence on CBS. The Johnnies open up as a 6.5-point favorite. Should be a good game. Looking forward to it. It's going to be hyped up. It's going to be the big game of that day. They have it on CBS for a reason. It's going to be a big game. The Knicks played, I don't know if I'd call it a big game last night, but back-to-back with two terrible under like 10 games. What is Charlotte? Charlotte's record, what are they? 18-51. They lost to a team. I'm assuming that record's been updated. They lost to a team, that was 17-51. 17-51. And they were down by as many as 15, 16 points in this game. It was, lost by 17. Then they, the final score they did, you call off the dogs at some point, but lost by 17 points. They're down 27-19 after the first quarter. I mean, that is just unacceptable. And, do we have the heart sound in there about the... We probably do. About the... Because he was, complaining about the schedule against San Antonio. He was complaining about, we were on a West Coast trip. We came back to New York to play Miami. Then we had to go right back out here in San Antonio. Then they followed up in Charlotte on a back-to-back. And that's just excuse-making. That's what that is. And we have heard them talk about it. Evan was playing it on the show today. Jalen Brunson has talked about no excuses for being tired. Everyone's tired. So we'll get to Josh Hart on the other side. I got a break again. We'll get to Josh Hart and the Knicks. We'll get to the Mets. We'll get to the Yankees. We'll get to Pizzagate. We'll get to the idea that Stanton hurt his elbows because he switched bats late in the season last year, which is absolutely ridiculous. The Celtics have been sold for $6.1 billion. We'll get to all that on the other side. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Quick break. Update. We'll come back right after this.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.